Chapter 4. Honor. Wayu Oniha. To have integrity, to have an honest and upright character. The story of the snake. The old ones like to say that there are many strange and mysterious things in the world. They knew this to be true because they had seen things, some wonders, some funny, some powerful or small. But everything has a purpose. They said, everything that happens is a gift from life itself, if for nothing else than to teach us a lesson. My grandfather told me about some hunters long ago who met something powerful and mysterious and learned a lesson about honor. A lesson they would remember each time they saw a snake. Four hunters went into the great mountains we call Bahasapa, the Black Hills, whose pine-covered slopes look black from a distance. These mountains are important to us because they are so mysterious and powerful, and because the old ones say, we came up out of the earth through a hole in the ground there, a cave. Today it is called Wind Cave. Hunting was always good in the Black Hills because elk and deer were always plentiful. After a day's travel into the mountains, the hunters made camp in a secluded narrow meadow. There they prepared their weapons and rested. They fell asleep that night, eager for the new day and for good things to happen. Sometime in the night, one of them awoke to add wood to the fire and saw a frightening and terrible sight. A giant snake had encircled them and their camp. The hunter was frightened. He closed his eyes and opened them, but the snake was still there. He woke the others, motioning them to keep silent, and pointed at the snake. None of them had ever seen such a thing. It seemed as though they were all having the same bad dream, and all they could do was huddle together in confusion. As yet, the snake had not moved. "What shall we do?" the youngest of them asked in a whisper. "Perhaps we can kill it with arrows if we all shoot at once." "No," cautioned the oldest. "If we cannot kill it, it will kill us. It has to be very powerful. We must think of a way to escape while it seems to be asleep." They stood around a dying fire, but the moonlight through the large pines was bright, and they could see red and black stripes on the snake. They waited, each of them expecting the thing to disappear because nothing in their lives had prepared them to believe that giant snakes were real. But it didn't disappear. So they had to believe it was real. "We must do something," one of them said. "If it is asleep, it will certainly eat us when it awakens. It could swallow us all easily." Without a doubt it could. Its back was as high as the hump of a buffalo, and it was as long as 20 buffalo standing in a circle, nose to tail. "There is only one thing to do," the oldest hunter told them. "We must jump over it." All of them were strong and healthy, but none of them had ever had to jump over a giant snake. "We can dig a hole, get in and cover ourselves," suggested another. "Perhaps it will think we have escaped and leave." "The ground is full of stones," said the oldest. "We have no tools to dig such a large hole. We must jump before it awakes." The others yielded to that logic, though not without some misgivings. Clearly, the one place to jump over was where the snake's head and tail came together, because it was the lowest spot. "First, we must throw our bows and arrows over," said the oldest hunter, who was the leader. "I will go last, and you must be first," he said to the youngest. "Take a run and leap over that spot where the head and tail are." "I cannot," whined the young man. "What if I cannot jump high enough, or if I fall?" "It is more than likely certain that the snake is here to eat us," said the leader, "so you must try." He tossed his weapons a good distance into the trees over the snake's back, as did the others. But the youngest was too frightened to jump, so the leader pointed to the next man. "Go, take a run and jump." The man stepped back just beyond the fire as the others moved aside to give him room. Suddenly he dashed forward and jumped, tumbling over the snake's head and into the brush beyond. He landed with a thud and stood motioning for the others to follow. Encouraged, The next man did likewise, crashing through the brush at the edge of the trees behind the snake. The leader grabbed the youngest hunter by the shoulder. "See," he said, "it can be done. They have jumped, and you can too." The young man took deep breaths. "Yes," he said uncertainly, "I will try." Then he stepped beyond the fire, tried not to look at the snake, and ran as hard as he could. He might have made it. His fear had helped him jump so high, he would have cleared the snake's back. But he didn't, because the snake raised his head and sent the young man crashing back to the ground near the fire. He landed so hard he was knocked out. The two hunters who had already jumped ran and hid in the trees. The leader quickly bent over the unconscious young hunter as the snake raised its terrible head and stared at them with unblinking eyes. There was nothing to be done. The two hunters were at the mercy of something they didn't know existed until that night. Frightened down to the core of his very being, the leader could do nothing but await what might happen. After a long wait, all the while chilled by the unblinking black eyes of the giant snake, he felt the young man stir. Strangely, the snake moved at the same time, crawling off into the dark forest, silently moving to the trees in spite of its size. When it was gone, the other hunters came out of hiding. The youngest one woke and grabbed his head. "I have a terrible headache," he said. "The snake spoke to me in my head." The other two hunters gathered their weapons and strung their bows. "It might come back," one of them said. "If it does, we must fight it." "No," said the youngest, "it will not come back." "What do you mean?" asked the leader. "The snake talked to me inside my head," said the youngest. "It has asked us to do something for him. If we do not, he will find us and swallow us." The others thought for a moment. Perhaps there was something to what the young one was saying. After all, before tonight, none of them had ever believed that such a thing as a giant snake was real. So that same giant snake talking to the young man in his head was not difficult to believe. "What did the snake tell you?" asked one. "We must make a journey north by east," he told them, "until we come to a flat river and follow it into a low valley. There we will find a single lodge with a red door. A man lives there with his wife and child, a man with a scar under his eye. He will be expecting us. Two of us must wait with the wife and child while the other two take the man north, keeping north by east across the great muddy river and on until they find a long narrow lake that is not deep. The man must walk across that lake. The snake said if he crosses to the other side, he will be free to return home. If he does not cross to the other side, what will happen?" the leader asked. "I do not know," replied the young man. "I know only that the man must walk into that lake and try to reach the other side. Whatever happens, we must return to his lodge." They stayed awake the rest of the night, afraid that the snake would return, but it didn't. In the morning, they traveled east, and by sundown, they were out of the mountains. The following sunrise, they headed north by east, and 2 days later, they came to a river and camped. "Are you certain the snake talked to you?" asked one of the hunters. "Could it be that you thought he did? Perhaps it was only a dream." "Was the snake a dream?" asked the leader. "I have never heard of such a thing, yet I saw it. Am I to think my eyes and ears were lying to me?" "I'm only trying to be certain we are not being led into a dangerous thing," replied the first hunter, "or made to look like fools. I, for one, think that traveling into country we don't know, perhaps even into enemy country, because we listened to someone who said a snake talked to him, is laughable." "I have not lied," insisted the youngest hunter. "I told you what I heard. The snake said, if we do not do as he says, he will take us all. He will swallow us." "You are free to go," the leader said to the first hunter. "You do not have to believe what this young man says, but remember, we all saw the snake. We all saw what happened to this young man. So I believe him, because I don't want a giant snake following me, waiting to swallow me. If we find the Lone Lodge with a red door, retorted the first hunter, then we will know this is all true. If we do not find such a lodge or man with a scar below his eye, I will go home, back to doing something sensible. The next day, after following the river for half a day, they came to a valley. Not too far into the valley, they came upon a lodge in a grove of trees. The Lone Lodge had a red door. In it lived a man with a young wife and a child. The man had a scar under one eye.